It's Reality Bites. Every week on the Believe Podcast Network, I sit down with one of my great friends and talk about something that most men are afraid to talk about in this 2019 society of ours, reality TV. But not me, folks. You know me and my reality. I'm a reality TV whore, and I love talking about it as much as possible. So that's what we're going to do today. Today, guys, I have a very, very special friend with me. My friend Samantha Becker is sitting here with me. Sam Becker served as the executive assistant to Steven Spielberg. Don't know if you guys have heard of him. Worked closely with him behind the scenes on such films as War of the Worlds, Munich, Bridge of Spies, Lincoln, and most recently as the associate producer on the BFG. She crafted speeches and publicity materials for the studios and executives. Her writing has been featured in the Lenny Letter, the Hollywood Reporter, the Jewish Journal, and Entertainment Weekly. Becker holds a Bachelor of Arts in Film and Television Production from the University of Southern California. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Samantha Becker. How you doing, Sam?
I'm very good. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You're here too.
Yeah.
You know, usually I don't have women on my Jamie
was the first.
Jamie was my first female. And because I like to get guys' points of view on reality TV, don't usually talk
about
it.
Is it just because they're not usually
Usually you have women talking about reality TV. Most guys don't really admit that they watch it unless it's to other guys, like in secret.
100%.
I don't know why that is. I don't know why it's that kind of culture, but that's what we have. But the show we're going to talk about today, I felt needed a female point of view opposed to a male point of view. I feel like it needed both sides of the coin. But first, tell me what's going on with you in your life and tell me what you got coming up next. I mean, this is a very, very, very impressive resume.
Thank you.
I feel like you should not be sitting across from me right now. I feel like
I'm making
you dumber.
Across from each other all the time when we watch Bachelor in Paradise.
We do. We do.
Worked for Steven for over a decade. And
Steven Spielberg.
And then joined up with the amazing guys who everyone knows now from their podcast, Pod Save America. They've run a communications company for a long time called Fenway Strategies and was the creative director and a partner there. And that's where I gained most of my chops as a speechwriter. But so much of that is rooted in my entertainment background as well.
So you know how to get people, you're writing speeches for people that know what their points of view are, but don't know how to express it, basically, right?
Right. It's like, if you know what you want to say, then we are the people to help you. If you don't really know who you are and you're having an identity crisis, you should probably do a little bit of searching before you seek out a writer. But the cool thing about speech writing and ghostwriting is that you really get to, and you know about this as, you know, being an actor, you get to tap into another person's brain and just like sit with them and really understand where they're trying to come from world.
It's interesting that you bring that up because I'm just thinking about it now. It's like the exact opposite of what I do. Somebody writes something for me and then I try to impersonate the best of my ability that person in real
sure,
life.
Like what they put on the page for you.
Right. Whereas you meet somebody and you're like, how do I best represent this person from their point of view, but express it to the world?
Sure. And then a lot of people will tell you when you're talking to them and you're really trying to get inside their head that, you know, we've had a couple of people feel like it gets personal really quickly, which it does, because if, you know, it's like that line from You've Got Mail, like if anything should start from anywhere, it should start from being personal. Huh. And so it becomes like a therapy session almost, where you're talking to this person about, because you have to know where they're at in their life when you start generating content for them, because otherwise it's not going to feel genuine. And to give them more credit, I mean, we couldn't do our jobs without them, because they have to really let you in and they have to make themselves a little bit vulnerable to you. And I think everything that's going on in the world today, it's a really interesting job to have right now, because obviously everyone, regardless of what field, you know, if you're an athlete, if you're an actor, if you're an entrepreneur or the head of a Fortune 500 company, everyone has something to say and everyone has a responsibility to say it to somebody.
Yeah, everybody just, and you know, I used to hate social media and I used to hate, you know, people that were putting themselves out there all the time. But Oprah said that everybody just wants to be seen and heard in the end.
100%.
You know?
It's like any, like the just the notion that you want to be understood.
But we live in a society today where your words and your image, you can't take back. So
right.
Once you say something out there, so I completely understand why somebody would want somebody like you with intelligence and know-how and know exactly what to say at the time to say it.
Sure.
would want you to write my words for me, because I'd be like, I like ice cream and also beer fun. And you'd be like, okay, Rob's a connoisseur of the finer leches. You know?
Yeah.
And like, that's what, I mean.
Well, and there are so many people who, like you said, they do know what they want to say. They know who they are. They don't necessarily know how to say it. And they have, their skill sets are, you know, skill sets that I don't have, and they're phenomenal. But they, you know, they need they're not so much with the words, you know, and they need a little help. But some of them actually are fantastic writers, and it becomes like a real team effort, which is amazing.
Which is great.
Which is, it's amazing to see how they change and evolve as you work with them. And also just the skill set of like learning to get up there and talk too. Some people are just very gifted speakers, you know.
Do you feel like doing this? I mean, obviously you're taking somebody at their face value and then translating what they're trying to express.
Sure.
But do you feel that like... you're a little bit of a psychologist when it comes to this? Like,
well, they've said, yeah, because they've said to you like, oh, this feels like a therapy session. So that's, I mean, they clearly sometimes think that, which is funny. I wouldn't give us that much credit, but
you
do think
you have to get to know, you have to get inside their brain a little bit to think how they think.
Sure. And you also have to have a level of willingness to understand what life is like for another person, how they move through the world, what empathy is for them, yeah, what matters to them, what, like you said, with social media makes a person feel like they're seen and understood at the end of the day. And then when you get up there and talk to people, it's like you want to make the people that you're talking to, it's a dual pronged situation, because they also have to feel that listening to you means that they as an audience are being understood.
Heard.
Yeah, heard,
which
understood,
seen. Which
is
another
seen.
Fantastic reason why I wanted you to come on and be the yin to my yang, if you will,
yeah,
on this episode, because we are talking about...
Bachelor in Paradise.
We are talking about the one, the only Bachelor in Paradise.
So good.
I don't care what you guys think about every other reality TV show. You've heard my opinions about everything from Project Runway to Big Brother, but... The Bachelor franchise is like no other. It's got a following like no other. It's basically the most popular franchise in the world as far as reality content, yeah, goes. Would you agree?
Yeah. And it's also just like, I know when people say like that, what's that like social media thing, like name a more iconic group. They were even doing it on Instagram this week on Bachelor in Paradise. But it's like, it's very iconic. It's very noticeable. They've got the Red Rose logo. Everybody knows what it is. And more importantly, even if you hate it, you know what it is. You likely know what's going on because everyone's
probably
talking about it.
You probably dabbled in it,
yeah,
once or twice.
And maybe if you don't say it out loud, you're still watching it, or you're hate watching it, you know, with your fiance or your girlfriend.
Right.
Or, yeah.
Somebody's sitting down and making you watch it. You're most likely, your introduction as a male into reality TV,
yeah,
is through The Bachelor.
Exactly.
Or Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I have friends that only watch The Bachelor because there's 25 hot women on it. I have friends that only watch The Bachelorette because they want to watch the guys drive each other crazy.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Bachelor in Paradise is like all the rules go out the window. And we've watched the progression of these people on Bachelor in Paradise over the, because this is season 6, right?
That's what makes it so interesting.
That's what makes it so interesting.
Yeah.
And what makes this interesting is that like before, when you didn't know what Bachelor in Paradise was, when you got kicked off The Bachelor, Bachelorette, you're like, okay, I'm done. Like, I'm going
right
to go back to rural Oklahoma, wherever I'm from, going to go back to nursing. And then people be like, oh, you know, for the next 6 months, I'd be like, I saw you on The Bachelor, Bachelorette.
Oh, my God.
And then you'd get that little fame, but then you would marry
your 15
a
minutes
dentist,
and
have
then
your dog, and then, yeah, and then your, yeah, 15 minutes is done. Now it's like, if you're anywhere in the top 6, now, even in this season, you could be kicked off in the first night.
Oh, totally.
And you can have a possibility of going to Bachelor in Paradise.
Right. Just breathing second life into your shot at love, or really also, I mean, if we're being honest, just like your shot at a career and the other things that you want to do.
And these people are insane. So, which brings me to my point. You've been in LA for how long?
Oh, God. Since I was really young, like literally like 18 or 19 years.
Okay. Yeah. I've been in LA for 21 years.
Yeah.
And I've worked at a lot of bars, like I've said on my podcast before, that have, I think Gersky and I were talking about real world road rules and all that,
yeah,
other stuff. But like, we've talked about how in this society that we live in LA, this is where the reality people funnel to.
Sure.
There's like buses that pick them up at every location they've ever been at and just drop them off in LA. And then they're here. So we've experienced Bachelor Nation firsthand.
Right. And you've dated them.
I've been in, I mean, usually I've been in crowds of 15 of them.
It's like they leave the mansion and like they're, so many of them just stay, which by the way, in their defense, like, all right, when I went to college here, I just stayed. This, you know, LA is a pretty magnetic place, and you can understand why it has this reputation for going after your dreams. But going after your dreams and also going after a person you love in such a public way, and then having to either fall on your face or succeed, and then that is actually part of your, for lack of a better word, brand, is such a bizarre world that we live in.
Look, I think that every single one of these characters that go on these TV shows, Bachelorette, Bachelor, I think that they go on, they don't go on with the intention of finding love. Nobody does. I have a friend right now who's in the application process, and I'm like, I didn't know you were ready to get married. And she's like, I'm not ready to get married. What are you talking about? I'm like, you're going on this show.
Yeah.
You're the person with the, who's got the wrong intention. What do they say?
Wrong intentions.
Yeah, they're not here for the right reasons.
You're not
here for the right reasons. Yeah. Right. And she's like, well, I don't know. Maybe at the end of it, I will be. Depends who it is. I think once you get down, because of Stockholm syndrome, I think once you get down to a certain point, then you start being like, yeah, I could actually fall in love with this person. But
You've had your devices taken away from you. You're like in a very, I mean, you guys talked about it when you were talking about Big Brother.
Right.
Because I love Brett Gursky, but there's no way he could be without his phone for long, you know?
But it's also...
And I don't think I could be without my phone for that long.
It's a hard thing to do. But you're focused on this one thing for 6 weeks, this one thing. But then when they're taken out of the environment and then they're putting into this environment, there's a whole bunch of things to focus on.
Totally.
Which brings us to season 6. This is the first season, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the first season where the fourth wall has been demolished.
I think that's probably true.
We usually see these people arrive to Bachelor Nation, have no idea, most of America has no idea how much these people hang out with each other outside of the show.
Right.
I mean, when they say Bachelor Nation, they think they're like, oh, the moms in Mississippi is part of the Bachelor Nation, and Oregon, and everybody's Bachelor Nation. When Chris Harrison says Bachelor Nation, like, you think about everybody watching, but it's not what it is.
There's two sides to it.
When Jordan refers to Bachelor Nation, like he did on the show, he's talking about the 17 to 36 people that hang out on a constant basis together and travel in packs like dolphins.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And by the way, they're creating, which is so different than like, I mean, when we were way younger and it was, what was the first one? Like Ryan and Trista, the very first Bachelor.
The first Bachelorette.
Yeah. It's like that world was so long ago in the sense that these people all have massive digital footprints right now.
Right.
So like, if I'm watching this in LA with you, which I do, you know, it's already aired on the East Coast. One of them is already Instagramming about it. Mm-hmm. You can see what they've been doing for the last six hours.
You have to turn your phone off if you're on the West Coast.
Yeah, you can form your own real opinion about this person's life before they even set foot on that beach. And so that is in and of itself, like we were saying earlier, so much like the Truman Show, because these people are in a fishbowl, except, I mean, they're willing, you know, and able to be in this fishbowl, right? But it's just, it's such a unique setting because so many of them, you know, how they're in their, like, they're 20 to 30 or whatever. These people grew up watching The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
That's so true.
So they've changed their behavior. I mean, Demi kind of, she was the first one that we sort of, like, we had talked about this last year because she has a, she even said she had watched it. So you could tell that her expectations of doing an interview and what was going to happen to her, they were very curated. And it's a next generation of reality TV based on a generation that has been raised on reality TV.
Yeah.
So and they're not as shocked about it.
And in season 1, 2, 3, and 4, like, all right, so I dated, it's not a secret, I dated Ashley Frazier for a little bit. Ashley was on Sean's season, made it to the Fantasy Suites.
Right.
They got cut. And then she was on the first or second season of Bachelor in Paradise. And people thought she was crazy. This was her whole thing. People thought she was crazy because she had followed Graham on Instagram and liked him and wanted to meet him in Bachelor in Paradise. So people considered her a stalker because she was like, I came here to meet Graham. That's why I'm here. So even Graham was like, yeah, she's hot, but like she was stalking me on social media and like she
Which is kind of crazy though, because they're creating a narrative about a like an ecosystem that they're making. Right. Like they're making it so that these people know who the other people are in Bachelor Nation. So it's not unheard of that somebody would be like, oh, I heard somebody's going to Bachelor in Paradise. I'm interested in meeting
him. Even the fact that this was only 7 years ago,
right.
6 or 7 years ago,
right.
Now these people are admitting that they're there. They as like, I came for her. I came for him. I watched him on this
show.
I follow him. And now the whole Kaylin, Christina, Blake, Hannah thing is just breaking down the wall so much harder because now Bachelor producer and production, they're not even like, let's hide that shit anymore. Make them seem crazy for
no, like, they bring it into the storyline.
Yeah, they're like, this is it. Like, these people were fucking beforehand. Yeah. Let's let this run. Let this fire go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So here's what I thought we would do. I thought that since every week has two episodes and every episode is 2 hours and we're now six episodes in, right?
We're four episodes in.
Episodes, 8 hours in, right? We just did the second week. I thought instead of going, because usually what I do on this show is like, I'll break down every episode and we'll talk about all the shit that's going on, all that other stuff. So instead I thought what we would do is go through the cast list because also it's not just Blake and Hannah and Christina and Kaylin.
There's so much going on.
Every single person on this beach, even people that we were like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
They're having the most drama than anybody's ever done it than like
100%.
For 10 seasons.
100%.
So I thought we'd just go through the people.
Especially last night. I was like, where did that come from?
Last night? I mean,
he was on one episode, got eliminated the first night on The Bachelorette. And then all of a sudden comes in, sweeps Nicole off her feet. There's a fight involving a pinata. This is why people watch it, though, by the way.
No, 100%. But if you told me at the end of The Bachelorette, at the end of Hannah B's season, that I was going to be watching a date between Christian and Nicole, I'd be like, who the fuck are you talking about?
Sure. Of course.
And what would I care?
Right. Because she also got,
Christian, Nicole triangle. I'd be like, what?
Well, it's the thing is you don't care, but here's the piece of it that you'll always care about as like a human who is like just a story, you know, we're all storytelling animals is like she, you know, this is her second shot, right? It's his second shot. That in and of, forget who they are, that in and of itself registers with people because they just see like, you know, the underdog or the person that was overlooked before or whatever. Or wait, maybe I didn't look at them the first time and there's something more interesting about them.
Episode I saw because
it's like a mind fuck.
The whole Colton season with Nicole, I was looking at her and being like, I don't see what anybody like. Of course, she should have been.
She's
gone
the one. She had like an interesting backstory, though. Remember, she was the one, like me. She has a twin brother, and she was from Miami, which I also lived in Miami and grew up in Miami.
Wait, are you Nicole?
Her storyline kind of fizzled out. So you were like, I'm never going to see this girl again.
All the time, again, get into a weird fight with Onika that's still there.
It was just ridiculous. But now I'm pleasantly surprised by this whole situation.
I'm not even surprised by her. I'm just more of like. The thing that I like about these producers too is that they know how to pick out crazy.
Oh, sure.
They're very good at picking
people
out
that get the fewest minutes of screen time, which I'm sure that you and I could sit down and like do an actual statistical breakdown of this, are probably the people that are the most mentally stable.
I've been told by producers of multiple reality shows that they do have a psych test, but they hit the bare minimum of what is legal to pass the psych test.
Well, I certainly hope they're like keeping an eye on. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about the Cam stuff. But, like, they need to keep an eye on people that are. No, I'm serious. It's just like because they need to like really focus on people who are having emotional.
I'm sure they have multiple psychiatrists upset, like being like, "Ugh,
that's concerning." Yeah, and I know some of it. It seems like he's also like it's part of his. It could be part of his shtick. I don't want to be insensitive.
I will be. I fucking hate that guy, and I'll be straight up with him. I hate that guy. I hope he listens to this, and I hope he knows that I fucking hate him because he was dating one of my friends when he went on Hannah's season.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
our friend,
yes. One of our friends, yes. When he went on Hannah's season. So
I will be seeing her for a bachelorette party next weekend, and don't think for one second that I won't be asking her about it.
I will too. Okay, so let's go through this cast list and just talk about each person in a, like a little 5-minute thing. And here's the thing. There's 30 people in the cast, apparently.
Oh, my God.
But every person's attached to somebody. So we can talk about both at the same time.
Absolutely.
Right?
Especially like they've already paired up. Yeah.
Right. All right. So the number one person who I feel like is become the spokesperson for the whole franchise of the whole Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise is?
Jordan?
No. Demi.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's like the narrator. Well,
yeah. She's everybody's thought. She's 100%. The
everyman. 100%.
Yes. She's the everyman. She's the one.
She's like the stream of consciousness for the whole show.
Exactly. Yeah. She's the chorus in Shakespearean Greek.
Totally.
Time.
And last night we got like a glimpse of like.
Her and Jordan talking.
Well, it was like, what's, remember on, when we were little, on the Muppets, like Statler and Waldorf in the balcony. The old guys in the balcony. Yeah, and they're just sitting there watching everything that's happening and just like insulting everyone. Yeah. But it was kind of, you know, it was cute. It was sort of a breath of fresh air to see them interacting. And you can tell that it seems totally platonic.
What would have been better is if we could have seen Jordan and Demi making fun of, I think it was Chris and Cam and Clay.
Oh, yeah.
And then had two people behind them making fun of them.
100%.
Because that would have, because that's exactly the way the whole thing works.
Yeah.
The whole circle of people talking shit about each other.
And then simultaneously, we talked about it last night, but they always say, like Tayshia was saying, well, I would tell her this. And it's like, but you're not telling her. You're saying it by the pool with a bunch of other people,
right.
Which would only get back to her if it was filmed and then edited and then put into the episode. So until you actually have a face-to-face conversation with her, it's not like you're telling her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to start with Demi.
Yeah.
All right. So Demi was the fun girl in Colton's season, right? Never had a chance. Actually got Stockholm syndromed into saying, I think I'm falling in love with you, for Colton to be like, no, I don't have feelings, send her home. But she always had a mouth on her. She was always the girl that was like kind of fun. She was the villain for a little while, right?
Right.
But now she's become America's favorite person.
Oh, yeah. I really was not a fan in the,
no.
during now Colton's season.
Now she's like the one that every, like Bachelor Nation is building her up to be like, the person that like represents the whole franchise at this point. I'm sure she'll have her own podcast, if not already, about the show. People will go on her show to talk about all the rest of the seasons and all that other stuff. But the interesting thing about Demi is that now she has the historical landmark of being the first bisexual person on the Bachelor franchise.
Well, that's come forward about it. Yeah.
That's come forward.
Sure.
About it. She's the first one to come out. She has a girl that she's been seeing in Los Angeles. Los Angeles, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And
I mean, I've seen pictures of them on Instagram, like in other places. But
all of the homosexual community is behind her 100%. People that watch the show. And, you know, that's another thing that, like, I don't want to go way too off topic but I usually do on these podcasts. But I don't want to go too off topic. But that's another thing that I watch this show with people that are homosexual, whatever. And to watch that kind of relationship going on over and over and over again. I think Lance was even talking about it on my Big Brother podcast. He's like, it sucks that like there's not two people that can get together and have a showmance on these network shows that are of same sex, because you want to cheer for that too, for them, you know? And the people in the same or that are same sex oriented have to watch these boy girl relationships this entire time for these shows and be a fan of it. Now they have somebody that they can be like, ooh, what's going to happen here?
Right. Like they haven't been watching anyone. I mean, similarly to previous seasons that the discussion has been that it's obviously cast heavily like white, you know, like people don't see representation of themselves in the franchise,
right.
Which is totally understandable why there needs to be more of that. So I think it's great that she said everything she said last night. And I think obviously you can tell by the trailers that she's got more that she needs to say about the woman, about her relationship with Derek, about all of it. And did I miss something that there was a shot of the next episode where like she was crying, but still talking to, what's her name?
Hannah.
No, wasn't talking to Hannah. But she said something and they said, you can't help who you love. And then she had opened up more about it.
Here's the thing is that like when you are, here's the thing with Demi. Okay. So she's here. She's like, I'm in love with this woman, but is this whole bisexual thing's new to me. Being out is new to her.
Sure.
Right. She said she went to her parents. Her parents were very open about it. Very like, you're our Demi. We love you, blah, blah, blah. But she's been made to feel like she's had to hide it her entire life. It's the normal story, which is sad, but it's the normal story for people that haven't come out of the closet yet, right?
Sure.
usually from the same kind of background that Demi comes from. She now is in a position where she's like, okay, now we're watching her go through this like kind of process of, I need to find out what I like. So she has this girl that she's dating, but then she also wants to explore things with Derek. And I feel like any other season of this show, if somebody was dating somebody back home, it wouldn't be a cool thing for them to come and do on the show.
So you're saying, like, if she had had a dude in LA that she was interested in or had been seeing, you know, similar to what happened at the end of the Bachelorette, yeah, would that have been the same response from Derek? I think that question was asked last night when we were watching it, and I think it's a fair question to ask. But what I'd say,
is she getting a pass because it's a bisexual thing and she's coming out?
It's possible, but what I think is more important about it is that, like, it was very evident that her coming to him with that information was a difficult thing for her to do. She was clearly mulling it over, regardless of the cameras being on her.
But Sam, my question isn't more about, like, I mean, look, the way Derek handled that, A, fantastic.
I agree.
I did not expect it. I thought he was going to get in a van and take off again.
Yeah.
But also, B, he had cameras on him.
Sure, sure.
So you're going to say things, you might not react the same way that you would react in a private setting.
Sure.
You know, I'm of the theory of, like, everybody can do what they want to do. I don't care. But if you're my girlfriend and you also are hooking up with a girl, like, that's still cheating. You know what
yeah, I mean? So, I agree with you about that. Yeah. I think one of the reasons I felt that his reaction wasn't more, like, I think we can all agree that, like, had she been talking about a guy, yeah, sure, would he have been frustrated? 100%, I'm sure he would have. And maybe that we would have seen more of
They're in a weird environment where she could have gone on a date with somebody the next day.
They're in a weird environment. She could have gone on a date with somebody the next day. We don't know how actually long, in terms of the editing process, how long they've been there. And also, more importantly, I do think, I want to give him a little bit of credit because I think he sat there and saw a person, regardless of their gender, coming to him and telling him about something that was happening in their mind and their body that they were struggling with. And they were being super vulnerable and super honest with him that the fact that they felt that way about somebody back home was a very real thing. And the fact that they wanted to explore what was happening here was also a real thing. Yeah. And I felt that he showed like a level of sympathy and empathy and a willingness. Like, what he did was just indicative of a person who, you know, gives a fuck about her.
Okay, so then let me, I'm trying to scroll through these pictures here of the cast members.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going in the line of them, but, like, I don't care about the first, like, eight people here. But so let me transition the Demi thing, which we're all up, like, behind, right? We're all supporting.
I mean, it makes it interesting for rose ceremonies, right? Like, when the girls have the roses and the guys have the roses, how's that? Like, if she didn't want to give a rose to a guy, and there's a theory that her girlfriend from home comes on the show at some point. I've seen that theory on blogs. And
spoilers.
Well, I don't know. It's just that, and you see her in the trailers that she's making out with a girl. Who knows?
They may look like Hannah.
Right, but even more so then, by the way, if it was someone on the show, if it was a person who's a cast member, that even throws off the numbers more. So it's like, you give the rose, like, okay, well, so the roses are being given to a person who has the roses. Like, I'm glad that the producers have gone with this because I think it throws a variable into a situation that's a very human 100%. Variable that's just real. Like, that's what's going to happen.
Here's,
like,
my question, though. If we're saying it's okay that Demi has a girlfriend back in L.A. and then she's coming here and she's hooking up with Derek and she's doing this thing with Derek, then what's going on with the Blake situation and the Hannah situation?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if Hannah's coming into this situation doing the same thing, if Demi's coming in here being like, I came here to figure myself out, to be open and to see how I feel and what's going on, then why can't Hannah do that?
I agree.
And Hannah's getting shit on right now. And I'm not a big fan of Hannah. I mean, I'm a big fan of her as far as, like, she's hot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like,
she is hot. Yeah.
She is hot.
She also kind of, like, weirdly looks like the doll that you would see in, like, every horror movie.
Yeah, it's true. Know? Even Toy Story. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But she's she looks like Skipper from the Barbie collection. But I think she was even dressed as it. I think there's a meme out there.
Yeah.
But the fact that Hannah had this thing with Blake and then now is here exploring. All right. So let's talk about Hannah.
Sure.
Okay. So Hannah's the first person on the beach.
Right.
Right. She's here. She's like excited for everything to happen. She doesn't know what's going on. Right. She doesn't know what all the other bullshit that's happening. She gets here. The second person to show up was Blake.
Right.
Right. It wasn't Dylan. It was Blake.
I think it was Blake.
It was Blake. So then those two start hitting it off. And right away, you're like, oh, these two have a connection. No, it was Dylan.
Well, it's like, yeah, actually, I think it was Dylan. And also, let's call it spade a spade. We don't know if they were the second person. I mean, we know what we've seen and edited, like what they've said is the second person. Okay. Yeah,
all right.
Sure.
But I think it was Dylan. And yeah. I think those two were like friendly, right? And then Blake showed up and then they were all kind of around. And then, but the first episode you saw Blake and Hannah kind of hitting
forming their relationship.
Right? And
yeah.
To the point where when he asked Tayshia on the date, you were surprised that it wasn't Hannah. Now,
right.
If I put myself in Hannah's position, I'm hot, right?
She's probably really confused why Tayshia
right.
got out.
No, I was just making myself hot because I was Hannah. She probably is confused about the way that Blake was pursuing her.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably confused that he picked to go on a date with Tayshia, to where she turns around and goes, okay, if this guy's making that decision, I'm not forcing him to come at me. I'm not going to throw shade at him or
sure.
drama at him. If you and I had a thing going
mm-hmm.
on and you came into my, like, whatever, when you showed up at a party and you went over and started talking to a guy and then I saw you like leave with that guy, I'd be like, all right, she doesn't owe me anything, but Sam left with that guy.
Right. You would handle it. What you're saying is you're handled like a rational human being.
Right. I would go over and like start talking to other women at the party and be like, okay, well, this person. And then if I hit it off with somebody else,
sure.
Like, all right.
Sure.
But then if you came back around, that's on me to say no or be like, why did you leave with that person? Which Hannah never does. Hannah never says.
Like she doesn't close the loop on her behavior. 100%.
Right. She never 100%. Was like, if you were interested in me, why did you go on that? Why did you pick Tayshia for that date? I think what people are getting mad at is that Hannah hasn't held Blake accountable for anything that he's done.
Well, that's correct. And also she hasn't held, I don't want to say, I'm hesitant to say she hasn't held herself accountable because I think that the villain that she's being made out to be is a little bit ridiculous.
I think it's true. I think what she's doing in front, she could, there's a lot of palm
right.
trees, Sam. She could go around any rock around there. We know that there's places to hide
sure.
in that place. She could go anywhere away and not let Dylan see her make out.
Like, well, that's true. I did not like that. You're right about that.
Yeah.
Like there's a way to be more considerate
coof.
In this situation. Yeah,
it's
exactly. 100%.
Trust me.
For sure.
I mean, maybe this is something she has to learn later in life, but like.
Yeah, I mean, she's pretty young.
I've been in bars that are an open square and I found a place to hide and make out from somebody that I didn't want to offend somebody else.
Okay. So we're learning from the master.
No,
I like it.
I'm
like
just saying.
No, but it isn't. Like you see the way they cut that together. It's terrible for Dylan.
It's terrible.
And actually the first thought that was going through my mind, and then I thought, well, maybe I'm a little crazy.
You're a behind the scenes person. So you keep thinking about cutting and editing.
100%, which isn't like the most effective way to look at it. But I did after I was done yesterday I found myself near the end of the show. I had said to Eve and John, we were all watching it, and I said, why is no one pursuing Dylan? If I saw what was happening at this point, I would like, and I really liked him, or I thought there was even just a spark of something there, I would like jump in on this because at some point I'm saying to
what
myself, this guy has got to wake up.
What did John say?
John said, like, no. I mean,
good
yeah, John, you know, John, by the way, is a screenwriter that we're all friends with.
John Fry.
Yeah,
also
John Fry. Fantastic.
That the human behavior. He's a writer.
It's fantastic. But John and a couple of them were rightfully so pointed out that, like, this guy's, his head is so in on her. That, like, if you were a girl, I understand that. I've, like, had a strong connection with a dude before and then sort of got a little more insight into the fact that they were still hung up on another person. And it probably wasn't effective for me to pursue it. So I just bowed out.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's what it is that you see Dylan. I mean, even the smile that he made, like I said to my friends the other day, cause I had to do something. I was over their house. I was watching and I was like, dude, grow some balls.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're too into her. Like, it's great to say like, you look pretty tonight, and your hair, and all that other stuff, and compliment, all that other stuff. But you're like her lap puppy right now.
Yeah.
Which is why she feels like she can leave you at home and go out and party with Blake, because you're still going to be her lap puppy when
100%.
She comes back.
We talked about this last night. If he had showed a level, if he had just been a little more aloof.
Aloof.
Just a little bit. Just a tiny smidge or whatever. he'd be faring a lot better with her right now.
If he had one, at any point,
if he
was
just
like,
went to talk to another girl, something.
That's all he had to do. Just go to the bar and be like, hey, can I talk to you, Christina, for 2 seconds? And like going off in the corner around Hannah and Blake while they were doing that. Or even if he just got like a friend to be like, come flirt with me in front of her.
No, I'll give you one even easier. If he had just, when they were on the beach and he's, Blake's doing his like twirling shit, like, just go to bed, man. Like, because then she would come back, and guess what? It would be for her first experience of you not being there.
Right. Or you like walked up to her and was like, oh, you're doing the walls wrong, brother. And then like went to sleep.
Something.
Yeah.
It was just,
and Christina said she already saw that move before.
Right. Yeah. But they all, I don't know. Maybe it's what you're saying though. Maybe they're in it. They're like so, you know, and they don't have their devices and they're in this like very
alcohol involved.
I just alcohol think that involved Dylan, for sure.
I think there's so many different aspects to the to this triangle that is like everybody's to blame for their part.
100%.
And it's like, well, Hannah, yeah, but I mean, she's there to explore. Blake, yeah, but he's trying to escape the fucking Christina and Kaylin shit, so he's focusing all the energy over here. Dylan, yeah, but stop being a fucking lapdog and giving her, like, to the point where she knows you're there in her back pocket no matter what happens with Blake.
You're right.
When we,
which we were talking about earlier, read all of those text messages.
Let's,
I don't know if you need to.
Let's look at the text messages.
Yeah.
Let's go. All right. You know, so I know this is what everybody's been waiting for on the podcast. We are going to go to the Blake and Kaylin text messages now. And we're going to talk about the boy versus girl. All right. We're going to do both sides of the gender thing on the Kaylin and Blake and Christina situation.
Right. Because it's like more than a love triangle at this point. It's like, what were they calling? A pentagon?
Yeah, that's what Jimmy called it.
And she has a point. I mean, I'm not sure that they're all so good at geometry, but they have a point with the multiple
Here we go.
Factors.
All right. All right. So it starts with, you read the first. I'm going to get some more wine because
are we going to dramatically reenact this? Like you're going to be Blake and I'm going to be Kaylin.
Should we reenact?
Okay, coming over.
All right, hold on. Pause for one second. Okay, I got my wine. We're back. So, So we're going to read through these text messages, and you know, it doesn't. Here's the thing. I feel like there was text messages and then there were phone calls. Because I feel like these do not make Kaylin look very good, these text messages.
They check entirely her credibility on another level.
Right.
Like, yeah.
But then I feel like there were phone calls that, because she's like, he said this to me. We had phone calls and you were being quiet. And then
I believe
this, and then I was quiet and blah, 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 blah. All right. So let's go through these text messages real quick. You want to act it out?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's act it out. Okay, ready?
Okay.
All right, go.
So I'm going to be Kaylin.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what time does it say? It doesn't say what time.
Well, it says 5:34, but does that mean a.m.? It's got to be a.m.,
right?
That's
got to be a.m. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So she starts.
She's hammered. By the way, they are blowing up Stagecoach.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, we have to talk about that. It's like a free ad for Stagecoach. They have said the word again. Like I said, we should go back and see how often they say what word or how many times this person speaks. But the ad, the full-blown ad for Stagecoach on the show. I mean, Stagecoach doesn't need to pay for another ad for months.
And this so if anybody listening, and if you've never been a Stagecoach, it's basically the country Coachella. Because I feel like a lot of people were Googling Stagecoach in middle America.
I'm sure.
Like wherever.
We were talking about how many times it had been mentioned last night when we were watching it.
Yeah. Stagecoach is I go every year. I fucking love it. But I understand this because if you look at my text messages from Stagecoach, I have the same conversation with somebody going on.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, we had a great time. We went to Neon Carnival. We did all this other stuff. I'm going to bed now.
Hooking up with two different people at a music festival, not that uncommon.
And these people, I saw them, Sam. I was in the VIP area with them.
Oh, my God.
It was like we were all, because there's only one VIP area, right?
Yeah.
So we're all hanging out. We're all by the haystacks and everything. There's one bar, and then there's a side stage, and there's a place where you can go in. And I saw them. I hung out with them. I have other reality TV friends that they're fans of, and they're fans of them back and forth and all that other stuff. You probably know who I'm talking about. But I saw these people, and you see how drunk they're getting. You have to remember, these kids are 23 years old. They're famous, and they're at a Stagecoach festival.
Right.
Not to mention, every single person that they're hanging out with is hot.
Right.
Okay.
So, I don't blame him for hooking up with two different people.
Right. So Kaylin says at 5:34 a.m., or even if it's p.m.
It doesn't matter.
Because they're probably at a pool all day.
Could be any.
Drinking
either.
And doing mushrooms. And I'm not saying that that's what they do. I'm not claiming that.
Is that what you did, Rob?
No, I do not. You know I don't do any drugs.
I know.
But these people might be.
She might have been
something.
At a pool though.
It might be four. It might be 5:34 in the afternoon because people get drunk beforehand. But anyway, so go ahead.
Okay, I'm coming.
Well, you said it like she's coming, like she's.
I know, but it's. I have to be honest with you. It's kind of fucked up that he actually screenshotted the text at the
you
first.
You said it that she's. You acted it like she was like having an orgasm.
Well, but that's the way it reads a little bit. No.
No.
All right. She means, guys, that she's coming over to wherever he is.
Okay. She says, "Okay, I'm coming." He says, "No, LOL."
Dude. That's fine. Chill. It'll be good.
No, that's what they all say.
All right. Come on. Loosen up.
Don't tell me to chill. Funny, laughy face.
Let's just have a good.
You have to say it.
Let's just have a good time, man.
Again, that's what you all say.
I just ordered an Uber.
Hashtag liar.
Well, to be fair, he spelled it wrong.
He spelled it wrong the first time.
I'm not.
Okay, so this is the first page, right? And she's being the aggressor.
She's being 100%. The aggressor.
And I have friends that have done this to guys. I have really good friends who have done this to really good guy friends of mine. And they... you can't stop them. They know where you are. They know your address. They know that you're staying at the house that has the pool and all that other stuff. They were there probably all day flirting and everything. So now she's coming back over. So this guy's going, don't come over. Y'all say it's fine if we hook up, but then you're going to get emotional about it afterwards and you're not. What are your thoughts?
Wait, he's saying, I hear you, but that's not what's going to happen after we have sex.
Right. Like, so as a girl... You agree to the fact that she's the one.
I agree to the fact that in this specific instance where these texts are, she's 100% the aggressor.
Right.
However, if the conversations that we discussed about, you know, happening on Bachelor in Paradise, where they talked about having phone call or what, you know, she said, what did she say last night? They even thought about not coming on the show and being together.
Yeah. And we don't have any timestamps.
We don't have timestamps. If that's true that they were being together, then maybe they're both, you know, swindling each other with different types of expectations. Who knows?
If I was drunk and I hooked up with Christina, I've met Christina before.
She seems really nice.
We had a little connection going on there. She's hot in person. She's very persuasive. Very cool.
She's hot on TV.
Yes.
Yeah.
If she and I hooked up the night before and then Kaylin the next night was like, I'm coming over, dude. And I was like, no. And she's like, I'm coming over. I got an Uber. I'm like, no. And like, she kept coming over. At my 43 years, I would probably be like, lock the door. No, I don't need that drama. I've learned my lesson. This is Blake learning his lesson at 25.
Yeah, he's in his 20s.
Yeah.
And he's at a fucking music festival where he's probably, like you said, intoxicated, just going along with everything. I'm not making excuses for either one of them, but we should finish the text message and then talk about the release of the text messages.
Okay, so then she says what?
Well, there's some photo that he sends her, because you can see that on the screen, which is insane.
Which he blocks.
Then she says, I'm in the shower, ? And by the way,
I'm sleeping
it is
in the shower.
Super, I'm yeah, sleeping, oh, sleep, I'm sleeping in the shower. Sorry. It is super, super questionable that Blake took the time to screen grab all the thoroughness of these text messages and didn't show us what the photo was. That's a little weird.
No, he's definitely making this.
Like, maybe he sent her a naked picture. I don't know what he sent, but like, dude, just tell us the full story. Don't. What are you redacting text messages? Like, it's an FBI document. It's so stupid.
Saying, well, no. Yeah. So now to his point.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping in the shower. Okay, I like it. So he was probably like, you can't sleep in my bed. You have to. Here's where you can sleep. She's like, where am I sleeping? You can sleep here. She's like, I'm coming in an Uber.
Okay.
So you can sleep here.
Oh, and then she goes, okay. So back to our reenactment. Yeah. I'm sleeping in the shower? ? Okay, I like it in there.
It's unlocked. We can cuddle, but no sex. LOL. Okay, so also we don't know the time difference between that stuff, right?
Well,
so
this is what's weird, okay? And this is why I want to talk about the text messages. This second screen grab in this article was at 5:32. The first screen grab was at 5:34. So is he posting things out of order to make it convenient for him?
Also,
I don't know.
Also, can I point out something?
Yeah.
Oh, we're playing detective
now. Yeah, and I'm happy to do it.
Yeah. Okay. So you know when you're on the phone with somebody?
Mm-hmm.
And your time is green.
Your time is green.
But But when you're not on the phone with somebody, your time is not green.
Right.
So his time is green at 5:34. So he's
on the phone with somebody. And by the way, wait, if you scroll down even further, it's green again
at 5:32
in a later part of this. He's not, look, I don't think either one of them are being totally truthful of the situation. What I will say is this. Last night, the discussion was like, oh, I'm team Blake. Oh, I'm team Caitlin.
Do you think he was on the phone with Christina at 5:34?
I'm team neither of them.
Wait, do you think?
And yes, I do think that.
Wait, but look, Sam, look. Oh my God, we're going to figure this out. At 5:34, it's green. At 5:32, it's green. At 5:32, it's not green. And that's when he says we can cuddle, but whatever. And then at the other end, he said no again. So do you think he was on the phone with Christina? Christina said, I'm not coming over tonight.
He could be on the phone with anybody.
No. But listen, he was with Christina the night before.
Sure.
So then when Christina said she wasn't coming over, that's when he hung up and started saying, you can come over, but we're not.
Oh, wait. What was the order of them? Was it Christina first and Caitlin second?
It was Christina first.
Yeah, that's damning evidence. That's damning evidence.
As a guy, this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that he hooked up with Christina on Friday night, because Stagecoach is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He hooked up with Christina Friday night, or maybe even Saturday night.
Yeah.
Then they got wasted. Mm. Everybody was around each other. He was probably being very considerate to Christina, but also flirting with Caitlin a little bit, right? Then he was seeing what Christina was doing. Christina was probably wasted and was like, I'm passing out. I'm not coming over, but it was good talking to you. Caitlin's texting him the entire time. He's responding on speakerphone, talking to Caitlin, and then texting Caitlin, but talking to Christina. Christina's like, I'm going to sleep. I'm passing out. I'm wasted. Good night. Goes to sleep. Then he's like, you can come over. We can have sex, or we can cuddle, but we can't have sex.
Right, but let me say something about what he continues to do, despite the timestamps.
Okay.
He says, well, should we finish the reading, or?
Sure.
Okay. So, sleeping in the shower.
Wait, okay. Put the microphone to your face.
Sorry. I'm sleeping in the shower? Okay. I like it in there.
It's unlocked. We can cuddle, but no sex, LOL.
Yes, sex. Only sex.
I have willpower.
No cuddling.
Ha-ha. I put a little ha-ha on your
thing. Ha. Lies.
Willpower, all exclamation point, all capitals.
You both know that's not true. We both know that's not true.
Well, I know you when you get a little alcohol in you.
Say it. She's got some drunk text here. Say it. I dare you.
Nope. I'm a gentleman.
That is very false.
Kissy face.
If I come over, it's strictly for sex. Nothing more, nothing less.
That's what they all say.
I'm just trying to be honest, you know.
Okay. All right. And that's it, right?
Well, and then they go on, they have other texts that he sort of, you know, in the political world, they would call this like doxing. that he like doxed her the week before Bachelor in Paradise. But yeah, I think that like what's interesting about it is she was definitely the aggressor in that particular situation. The weird thing about the green light on, like, who was he talking to? Like, I know we're getting into Sherlock Holmes in this right now.
No, we are.
But it bothers me so much because there's not full information. And even though I do not think she's telling the total truth about this story, like I said, we were talking about this last night and everyone's like, oh, I'm team Blake, I'm team Caitlin. I'm team neither of them. They're both handling it so poorly that it's just insane. And the only person that shows some rational capability of sort of assessing it from a third party objective point of view, not objective because she was involved in it, but is Christina. And I think she took him on a date. That was a little bizarre. It's like, why would you take him on a date for like a revenge date when you could be getting to know somebody new and just pull him aside on the beach and have that same fucking conversation?
Okay, so let's talk about Christina.
Yeah.
Okay. So Christina is, she comes on the show. She was on there last time. She had the whole three thing with M-Lo. Was that her name?
Oh, yeah. Well, and she was in love with Dean.
She was in love with Dean, right? So it's Christina.
And here comes
Dean
back in with his mustache now, right? This time.
Yeah. So she's another part of this situation where now she's becoming kind of like the mean girl on the beach, where she came in. She wanted to prove a point to fucking Blake.
What she did last night was not okay. At the very end of the episode, she was sitting at the bar. And she was telling the story to Wills.
Right.
Wills is God love him. He's really super sweet. But I don't know why he didn't just say to her,
listen,
she's behind you. Caitlin's behind
you. I'm
going
to say something that I shouldn't have, because I've had some wine. But when I told Nick Vail that I had met Christina, Nick Vail told me that I dodged a bullet. Like that she is somebody that will get drama stirring up, you know?
Well, I was sort of, like I said, I think she was being irrational person at first, I did not like, nobody likes a bully, but like, I think she knew very well that Caitlin, regardless of whether Caitlin was telling the truth about Stagecoach, was sitting behind her at that bar. That is a very small bar. She knew exactly what was happening. She was talking at a level that the other girl could hear her.
That we all could hear her from the microphone behind the
And like even though we read these text messages now and we have this conversation about whether Caitlin's telling the truth or Blake's telling the truth, it doesn't matter. Like, you don't need to slut shame a person.
All right, so do you think she's slut-shaming?
Yes.
Her?
And by the way, it's not appropriate because she also
Do you think Caitlin knew that Christina slept with Blake the night before?
No. It's possible.
I'm giving Sam a questionable
look. But here's what I was asking, here's what I counter with. Does it matter?
Yeah.
But it doesn't because, like, what I'm saying—
Because then you're just as bad. And if these are the—
Her speaking to him and blaming him, that matters. But the idea that these are two consenting adults that have sex on different nights it's like, grow up. Like, the guy's not in a relationship. Is it cool?
Is it gross?
Does it feel good that he did it? I'm sure it feels like shit if you thought you were starting a relationship with him.
Right.
That's not okay. But if he said all these things to her, to Caitlin, like, I'm starting a relationship, then that is fucked up.
But if he didn't,
and they were just two random, interactions at Stagecoach in the VIP section, which probably they all were. I don't even think that is that unheard of. And they need to grow the fuck up and realize that they're adults and, like, that stuff. When you're not in a relationship, that happens.
Well, let me ask you this question.
That doesn't mean that Christina should be slut-shaming her, though.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, then, which I never thought about. Blake posting these texts that we just acted out professionally, which I must say.
Gross.
You should send this podcast to your friend Steven.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
If it was you, if you and I were dating for 3 months, which is most of the length of most of my relationships, right?
You've had some longer relationships.
I've had some longer ones, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
But if you and I were dating for 3 months and then you were saying, I'm coming over, we're just fucking, whatever, stop being it, it's just sex, don't worry about it.
Calm down. Yeah,
calm down. Like, I'm not trying to marry you. After a 3 month, it takes a different context. Instead of it being a one-night thing.
Sure. And she insinuated that they have been talking for a while.
Right.
/ FaceTiming every day.
Every day, talking every day, all that other stuff. All right, so who's the winner in this situation? And now Blake is completely dissing the entire situation. Jordan's calling him out on it. Everybody's calling
Jordan
him out
does
on
not
it.
Like him.
And now he's really, he is putting his spoon in everybody's pudding. When he was on Becca's season, Sam.
Yeah.
I would get so angry when he talked. He'd be like this is, you want to hear my impression of Blake?
Yeah.
And I hope this translates into the podcast and you guys actually think it's Blake. Okay, ready? I just don't know. I just talk at the back of my throat like this the entire time. Real low, so I say, God, I'm so sad all the time. And why?
It's so true.
It's like, why do you have to talk? Like what? How much attention do you need?
Right. Well, you saw it when he was getting called out for some of these things. And he was like, as if it was a novelty that he had made a woman sad or something. And by the way, I think the whole point of all of it is that none of these things are mutually exclusive. Like, she can be a little bit of a hyperbole in the way she tells the story, or even, he can call her a liar, and he can still be kind of a dick in the way that he deal with it. And that's all true. All of that is true. And then the fact that they hooked up with multiple people, all that's true. The fact that she went to, when he went to go see Hannah before, all of that is true. And if he's a single guy and he did all of those three things, that in and of itself as a factual point isn't that horrific. The other sort of tiny little story points that you would add into the person's backstory are where he develops some problems. Like, did he in fact say these things? Did he in fact FaceTime with Caitlin every single day? Is that why she feels so betrayed?
You know that I go to the same bar over and over and over again, right? And I've had my fun times at that bar over the years.
Sure.
But I don't think that if I was in a very tight relationship with a bunch of different people that we saw each other over and over again, I would be constantly hitting up every... I mean, he had to know this was going to blow up at some point. And then he went to Paradise, where all three of these girls were going to be.
Well, that's sort of what we started out in this pod saying, is that, like, we all, you know, we're all storytelling animals, right? So, like, he might, like, we like the drama. Just like we like to watch the drama, somebody got to create the drama.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, there's a part of that that works in his brain, that makes sense to his brain. And so that there's, oddly and in a fucked up way, there's a comfort that he has in being the villain.
He
might say he's not the villain, but by the way,
I'm not saying that he doesn't think he's not the villain, I think that this guy thinks that everybody wants me. It's a narcissist.
Oh, I think it's that too. But what I'll say is there's a dimension of that about, okay, that's,
you have a date
a lot.
That's right?
Yeah, I do.
Oh but my that's, God, I'm getting you so
that's a lot of
wine booze. Drunk before your date right now.
But I think that what's interesting about that is that the role of the villain is a role, and the role of the person who likes to say they're not the villain is also a role.
Okay.
They're both characters. And these people are real human beings coming into the situation, and they say shit all the time on these sizzle reels and whatever we watch at the end of every week that say, like, this is real life. I don't know if I can handle it. It's not real life. It's the fishbowl that you've been put into, which is fine because you signed up for it. But once you sign up for it, you also sign up to take on the role in which you were perceived once you arrived. And that's just the reality of the situation.
Okay, which brings us to Jordan.
Which is great.
Because Jordan,
like, the best thing ever,
Demi has taken on this role that you're talking about.
I am proof of the fact that reality television, I don't know, for lack of a better term, works on people, because I fucking hated Jordan.
I did too. And Brett Gursky says that he's, besides Jordan on Summer House, this Jordan is his least favorite.
Oh, he's right about Summer House. Yeah,
that he hates this Jordan more than any other character in reality history.
100%. But then when I saw him that he was coming on this, I didn't even, like I said, I wasn't that big of a fan of Demi. But then you're sitting here and you tell me, you have me talking about them like they're Statler and Waldorf, and they're fucking great. And it's because, like anybody else in the world, they evolve as human beings. Their life changes because cameras stop rolling. They continue to change as people. And they come back and they maybe got their heart broken and his fiance fucked him over. Yep. Yeah, and that was a bad situation. And he's got some, you know, maybe some axe to grind with that. And he announces himself as, like, the mayor, and, like, it's his beach. And that's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
He
knows how to play to his perception.
Right. 100%.
Yeah.
And Demi, I think she knows how to play to her perception too. I would say hers is a little bit more organic, maybe.
Right.
But the fact that hers is a little more organic and his is a little more calculated, scripted, curated, works together.
Jordan is to what he's putting out there, the perception, as to Cam is to what Cam actually believes.
Right.
Because Cam...
Oh boy.
Fucking hate.
You really don't like him.
I mean, I'm
not a fan either, by the way, but
no.
You have some.
If he turns around and be
like, what would happen if you saw him on the street right now?
I wouldn't even acknowledge it.
You'd just be like, yeah. I can't with that dude.
No, I would. If he was walking on a crosswalk, I'd probably just keep driving and be like, there was nobody there. but I think that Jordan, I hated because of his arrogance, right? Cam, but his arrogance was so over the top that you were like, come on, dude, like, you're playing up for the cameras, like, blah, blah, blah. The gold fucking underwear on day one with Becca. Remember that?
Yeah, he's just.
Yeah, he was doing all that stuff and he was like,
always be Cam.
I'm a model. The only time I thought that he was sincere when he was like, people, like, what do you say? I love being me and you hate being, like, he was talking to that one dude that he fucking hated that was his nemesis. Anyway, he said something. He's like, people want to be me, or I forget what it was. It was a great quote, but it was so narcissistic. Cam, on the other hand, really thinks that he's, like, the greatest guy, but he sucks.
I don't know a goddamn thing about his personality other than that he wants to get married, supposedly.
No, you don't think that was fake crying? You don't think that was fucking crocodile tears and for the camera?
I think it's not normal.
He wants to be, like, the next Bachelor. Like, he thinks
I think that's part of the problem, right?
Yeah.
That's the fourth wall that you're talking about, too.
Right.
Because the obstacle that the producers face is the obstacle that they create, which is, like I said, they've created this ecosystem in which people like live and breathe and their career lives and dies on what happens in it. And then it's like, oh God, then their focus becomes not about supposedly what the organic first representation of these shows were, which was to find love.
Right.
That's why when you do find love and then you see these articles about like, oh, here's the seven couples that, you know, somehow they got engaged and stayed together after Bachelor or at Bachelor in Paradise.
Right.
Those, if you look at the headlines, you know, they are always posed as like they're anomalies, and they're right because the formula that was initially in place was before reality TV became like what it is today. I mean, to be honest with you, the first reality show was like An American Family back in like 1968 or something. So the concept of that stuff has been going on for a long time, but the way in which it impacts other people's lives and then the way it like metastasizes in social media and all of that stuff is so different now that the amount of variables a producer has to deal with is so far from what it was even at the beginning of The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and then even in the beginning of Bachelor in Paradise, that thinking, looking at a dude like that and then trying, even if you put him through the psych test that you talked about and he goes through all the other legal things that everybody, trying to really know that dude's intentions, you'll probably never know.
No, you'll never know.
You'll never know.
And then,
there's too many factors. We have too much, because that's what human beings do. They have too much information.
When you come on a show like that and you have an ABC, an Always Be Cam, like that kind of thing.
Oh, he creates like a persona.
Yeah. Like you're already doing something.
For
and then
sure.
He's a rapper and then he's doing this. And now these, like, he's Kalen, and it was always Kalen, and it was, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, he knows what he was doing. He's trying to be the heartbroken guy, just like, he the whole thing with Mike saying he was getting a pity rose.
Right. Like, you're saying that is actually part of his shtick that
he was
creating.
He's got a pity shtick.
But which is weird because, like, you know, our friend Eve, which we were watching last night, Eve also produces reality TV, and she said,
Eve is the biggest Tyler fan in the world.
She totally is.
Tyler, if you're listening to this by any means and you broke up with Gigi, Eve loves you and is ready for you.
Loves you so much. But she even said it. She's watching him and she's like, he has got to get it together because no woman wants to sleep with that type of persona.
No.
And she's 100% right.
And
he's sitting there. He's like
Jordan
kicking
making fun of
sand.
It.
And I don't even care if the editors are cutting together B-roll. The fact that he was ever doing that, any of that to begin with, is actually the problem.
I mean, even when the editors are like, no, we got to get this guy standing next to the rock looking sad. And then the wave coming up and hit him in the face.
Sure.
Like, everybody's making fun of him at this point.
Right.
And nobody, but what he's counting on is the fame that's going to carry him on. But he also has this different molecule in his brain that's saying they're really going to feel bad for me and then they're going to want to make me the Bachelor like they did Becca.
Well, I have a question about that though. Do you think that he thinks, so you remember Evan and Carly?
Of course.
Okay.
Do you think
Evan and Carly are now married, going on their second child.
Right.
And Evan was sort of had that same vibe of like,
no.
He at least had some ins with women.
Evan never had the woe is me, let me play to the camera type thing. Evan was genuinely a loser.
But do you think that, I guess what I'm saying is, yes, you're right. But like, do you think that Cam is trying to play like he thinks he's a little bit like Evan and he thinks it could end?
No, he thinks he's Jordan. He thinks he's Blake. He thinks he's the other, like, that's
I mean,
the thing.
Maybe he could be, but then
if
he opens his
here,
mouth and it's so terrible every
if
time.
If he came in and was more like, you know what, guys, I'm not the hottest guy here. I'm not the coolest guy here. I got my ass kicked on fucking the season. You know what I mean? Like, afterwards, like, if he played woe is me instead of pity me, then, like, I think he would have a better chance of, like, being like, I'm just here to hopefully find somebody that I connect with, like, and then said, like, what's his name?
Wait.
The guy you just said.
Evan.
Evan.
Yeah.
If they, like Evan, then he would put that in their mind.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, he's very, like, he's also the person who...
Right, but he's not doing
him,
that.
But, like,
he's like, writing fucking stupid poetry.
Well, he's also, like,
though.
He's the person, though, that because Evan turned it around for himself, right? So that's why we're related to that. But I think you're right. It's not the same. And Cam is more about, like, what has happened to me as opposed to, like, what control I have over the persona, character, person, whatever, that I put out there.
Right.
And that's not a
good...
I think
Cam has a false...
It's not a good quality because it was evident in the other show, by the way.
I think Cam has a false impression of who he is.
Yeah, he got some...
Jordan knew
he got some cover by Luke P, by the way.
Right.
Luke P was a bigger villain on The Bachelorette,
right.
So he got a little bit of cover from that.
But Jordan had equally problematic in different ways. Evan had a better understanding of who he was. He's like, this is me.
For sure.
I did compare Cam's poem to Kaylin to Evan's pepper kiss with
With Carly.
With Carly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty horrible. Okay. So who else? All right. So we're at, let's see, an hour and five. We have about 10 minutes left.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about Nicole.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Nicole is blowing the fuck up this season.
Dude, she's got, like, today they said is she the queen of Bachelor in Paradise? How did that happen? That was the Entertainment Weekly or People Magazine headline.
Really?
Yeah. How is she? And then she Instagrammed it, by the way.
Because Tayshia is hot. She's nothing this season. John Paul Jones and Tayshia, maybe their storyline's coming later.
What was that Romeo poem?
But that might be because he's an idiot. I don't even know why he's on TV. But this guy and Tayshia might be the Evan and Carly that you were talking about.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Cam sucks. Bibiana should just fucking quit and go back to wherever she's from.
She's gone, no.
Kevin should have hooked up with Bibiana.
But you know what's interesting about Bibiana, and you're right about Kevin, Bibiana is probably the most normal, I mean, the every interaction we've ever seen.
She's cute.
She's cute.
But she was such a psycho on her season with, Ari that she fucked it all up. Chris is apparently doing okay because he's playing in the backfield.
I don't understand.
Mike, what's going on with Mike?
Sorry, why does Chris, by the way, have in the opening, which is like very cheesy and entertaining because it's supposed to be like 70s, 80s, you know, sitcom vibe. What is the whole thing with he's using a walker?
Oh, yeah. He's old. He's like 36. Everybody else is 24.
Okay, so we're old then, I guess.
No,
okay.
I'm real old. So Mike, I feel like we should talk about Mike because Mike's going to be the next Bachelor.
Mike is fantastic.
Yeah. Mike's great.
Mike is fantastic. What the fuck is Kaylin thinking, by the way?
Because Kaylin...
She's switched over to Dean, who, by the way, I'm sure Dean is really nice, but like he looks like a character from Boogie Nights.
Look, okay. Dean is Dean, okay? Every girl.
Do you think
America,
Dean is a fuckboy?
Of course. He's living in a van. He's doing the...
If you have to ask somebody where they're showering, I don't know why. Like, which
is fine.
You know
that's the new hot thing. You know the new cool thing is like turning vans into homes and living in your van and traveling around. That's the new cool thing. I have probably 8 friends that are doing that right now.
Well, great. I don't even think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's great. But
right.
Like, she's asking him if he's ready to settle down.
She's 20.
His answers, she knows the answers to his questions.
She's
like,
23.
You know?
She thinks he's hot. She's had a crush on him forever.
Well, that's true.
Right? It's like we said, like, people have perceptions of stuff going into it. She probably joined the show hoping that he was the Bachelor.
Do you think Christina's still in love with him?
Of course. And then there's Mike.
I love Mike.
Mike's going to be the Bachelor. You remember that Colton was on last season and he went through this whole thing with Tia and they basically just made it a whole thing so that people realize that the thing with him and Tia is over.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Right. I think the producers went up to Kaylin and they were like, we're bringing in Dean. How do you feel about Dean? Because we want Mike to be on like in people's brains. We're going to bring him onto the paradise and keep him in people's brains.
Right.
And then we're going to, he's going to be our next Bachelor.
Mike is a good Bachelor.
There's no way. The guy's first sentence out of his mouth was like, I got 3 queens, my grandma, my mom, and my sister. There's
right.
no
he
way.
He had the best backstory.
There's no way.
He's a great smile. He's never disrespected
him,
a woman.
If they don't make him the Bachelor, then Chris Harrison must have had a stroke.
I mean, I don't know who else would be. I mean, I'm sure women are vying for Tyler to be the Bachelor, but like...
Yeah, but Tyler's gone. Tyler's
gone.
Too famous.
Well, he's too famous. He's dating Gigi Hadid.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, now he's like going to be an actual thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's going to be an actual model, and like, he'll be a Taylor Swift, a Gigi Hadid, a Bella Hadid. He'll be like in that whole crew. If he goes, he'd be going backwards if he did the Bachelor.
Sure.
So... This guy.
I think Mike is genuinely wants to find somebody that he likes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people want to watch him find love.
Right. and he has a good smile and he seems like he has a good heart. And also, I don't really know what it is about Mike, but what I've noticed about women that I watch the show with is like, I don't know what you said at the beginning of the pod. He feels like he's there for the right reason. I have no fucking idea why I feel that way. I mean, I like the story I saw.
It's that smile.
But
trust
he,
a good look
and
a smile.
He feels like he you can trust him. Yeah. And like he's not going to, you know, pull the shit that Jed pulled or pull. I did not like
and
Jed.
Look at the way they're portraying him right now. Like he could be there. You know, there's that producer in his ear being like, don't do that. Don't do that.
Sure.
Don't do that. Because
sure.
He could be like going off and fucking everybody on that beach if he wanted to. Remember when he first showed up? I was like, oh my God, Mike. Oh my God, Mike. Oh my God, Mike. He could be doing a Dean and fucking everybody. But obviously Dean got too drunk and was like, I'm not listening to
totally.
You guys.
Totally.
Mike's listening to him being like, because he's not even going up and fighting for Kalen, for Dean. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
That this is all, it's all choreographed.
Yeah, I think that's totally true. And I think he would be the perfect bastard. I'm trying to think who else would be a good backup.
They would have
that,
to go to another season. They would have to go like.
Yeah, it wouldn't be yeah. from that. I yeah. think you're right. And I like the whole, what do we think about Jordan saying that he's the mayor and that this is his beach? That's a little much.
He's playing the part.
But I like that he plays the part. That's what yeah. I was going to say. I like because it brings
he's
a little.
Be, and he knew what he was doing when he was going up. I mean, look, he got his most fame from going up and throwing that fucking teddy bear in the ocean
mm-hmm.
last year,
mm-hmm.
right? So now there's
and
a
now
pinata.
And now it's a pinata.
Right? So now he's going to go up. He's going to make a thing a pinata. Now this whole thing is happening. He knows how to stay on camera.
Oh, sure. It's not about his friendship with Clay. It's about
no.
the fact that he does not
Clay
like that guy, Christian.
Said, I just watched.
He doesn't like that dude.
Clay said 8 times, do not go do that. Do not. In fact, if I was Clay and he went and did that, I would go up to him and be like, fuck you, dude. You just ruined my chances because my name was in your mouth when you did that.
Yeah. Although I feel like Nicole also kind of thinks that there's a little bit of crazy with Christian,
no,
which
no, no,
it probably attracts
her
to him.
Are you kidding me? Nicole is a fucking pot stirrer. That's
well,
the last
she
thing.
Didn't even answer. By the way, she didn't even, when he came up and tried to like steal the time, you know? With like she was sitting with Clay, I thought, oh, Christian's gonna really ruin his chance here. All these women, like including Hannah, like they just don't say anything. And I don't know if it's that they like that the two guys are fighting over them, which I'm sure is a part of it. That's obviously very flattering.
I'm sure.
But
there's,
how have you not said anything in the moment? That's
I'm
like
sure
your
that
part?
There's a part of them to step outside of the box. I'm sure there's a part of them that's like, I want to say something, but this is good drama. Do I say something for the cameras? Right? Let them go at it.
Well, because there are, because the reason where I'm going with it is that they're arguing over who gets to spend time with her. And I'm like, bitch, like maybe she should say who she wants
right.
to spend time with.
Well, she's going up to both of them and be like, I like when people fight for me. I like when people do that. You know, and it's like,
oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. She's like she said, she wanted him to be more assertive.
She said to Clay 8 times, you know, you don't have to sit there and let him tower over you and be a fucking bigger man. That's the girl that you walk away from. Because that's the girl that's going to wind you up in jail because she wants you to get into a fight for her to prove your masculine. So this is the thing. I actually wrote this down. I don't know if you can hear my pages.
Your pages.
But I wrote this down is that the theme of this season, this would be a great place to end this podcast.
Yeah.
The theme of this season was I'll do Blake. I'll fight for you. Like
ridiculous.
Like everybody's saying they'll fight for somebody. Like Dylan saying to Hannah, I'll fight for you. Blake saying to Hannah,
so
I'll
unnecessary.
Fight for you. Clay saying, I'll fight for you. Christian saying, I'll fight for you to Nicole. Like it's, I had a girl break up with me recently out of nowhere. And then I was like, okay, well, see ya. And she's like, see, I knew you wouldn't fight for me. And I'm like, why should I have to fight for you?
Like, yeah, well, there's two things about it too, though,
you're
right?
not fighting for me, obviously.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Look, if we were in a relationship for 2 years and you wanted to go away, but there was still love there and you didn't know what was going on, I would fight for you emotionally, right?
Right. Well, you're talking about two different types of fight for you.
Exactly. But like, I'm not going to, if you're putting me in a situation where I have to actually fight for your attention and affection,
yeah,
go fuck yourself. There's
right.
7 billion people in this world. 3.5 of them are female. I'm going to go find somebody else.
Yeah, I think that the theme, you're right, that there's that sort of thread that's running through all these conversations. And then I think there's like the fight for you that's like, oh, I'm going to go rip down a pinata and start some shit on the beach.
Well, that's just Jordan being Jordan.
It's just Jordan being Jordan.
Right.
Or, oh, I'm going to assert myself when you're dancing with another man, or there's all versions of what it means to like fight for a person, which is super actually very, you know, on a sociological level, that's super interesting. But the concept of fighting for another person, it's like, it doesn't even work unless the people, both of the people in the situation, believe in the idea that the other person is actually worth fighting for. It's very meta. And so if you believe that the other person is worth fighting for, and both of you believe that to a certain level, then you would never fight to begin with.
Right.
You would be in the same place.
That's my whole point.
Yeah. And so it's not, it's very backwards of them to do that. And it's sort of further proof of like so-and-so being the age of 20 to 25 and fucking around with what they can do or whatever, which, you know, I can't say I didn't do when I was 20 to 25.
Right.
So I get it.
I mean, my nose was broken 7 times for fucking getting in fights and all that other shit.
Sure.
I was fighting all the time to prove how worthy I was of somebody or how somebody else couldn't put their own shit on me.
But totally.
Like, but to have somebody else going up to them in this situation and being like, be more assertive. You should be doing this. You should be.
Yeah, there's a level of instigation
now,
of it.
To that same argument, Hannah said that a lot in her season. I want somebody to be assertive.
I think, like, and this sort of, going full circle to the beginning of the pod, this goes back to, like, what I do for a living. A lot of this is about language, like, so much about language and words, and fight is the wrong word. Like, show me that you give a fuck. Like, show up for me. Like, be there. Understand me. See what I'm saying to you. There are 1,000 other words that could be used than fight for me. And by the way, these guys in this heavily, like, testosterone laden, sedated, boozed up environment hear the word fight and they think actually fight. And I think that that is something that the producers probably struggle with every day and that these people struggle with psychologically internally on the show every day.
Well, Christian does. Clay doesn't.
Clay's got some, I mean, not Clay, sorry. Christian, you can tell. Sure, he's very suave, but like he...
No, he's not suave.
But he's not.
He's got
but
that
he's
fucking
not, because he's
machismo.
Yeah, he's trying too hard.
Yeah, he's trying
too
hard.
There's a level of trying too hard. And so when...
He ran... By the way, if you notice as a guy, not to interrupt and I apologize,
no, you're good.
But he ran into all the producers before going to Jordan. There was a way to go... He got
100... Yeah, on the... Yes, you're right. You're totally right.
You know where you're going to get stopped.
Totally.
You know your direct line to punch somebody in the face.
100%.
Like, and he ran to where he knew he was going to get stopped.
For sure.
And that's why Jordan knew that he could pick on him.
But you can see lots of things about these people and their behavioral patterns that really telegraph what we'll see for the rest of the season.
Right.
And that's what's so interesting for anyone that, I don't care if you're a screenwriter or any type of person that studies human behavior, that's fascinating to see how these people talk to each other, communicate what they're actually saying, and how they process information that is like that either they're receiving or that's happening to them, right? So like Clay could be pissed off about the pinata thing, but he might think, oh, you know, my dude was like trying to have my back. And it's like, that guy, he asked him not to have his back. I'm sure that Jordan does really like Clay. That's probably fine.
No, but Jordan was doing that.
But guess what? Jordan fucking hates Christian. And he didn't like TV. I mean, he was doing it for TV. So those two combinations.
Christian and Jordan had that whole conversation.
Right, and that outweighs what
they had the whole
Clay
mental
said.
All thing. Christian's a small person personality. Jordan's a small person personality.
Right.
Like.
And then she's like the prize, you know, and she knows that. And so she plays that role. And I don't even fault her for it because I think. Where do you get involved? I do think that when women are involved in a situation where men get violent, they sense it before it's happening, and it's like
you're either going to antagonize it or you're going to check out.
Exactly. And I think she clearly antagonized it a little bit, and then I think maybe she didn't know what she was getting into and checked out. And she also clearly in the first situation with Clay wanted to see how much he was going to defend his right to having a conversation with her.
Right.
I don't fault her for that. I fault her for the language about fight for me or be this or be that or be this. It's like, here's what I have to say about that. If a dude wants to be assertive for you, he's going to be assertive for you.
Right.
Like, that guy is a big dude. He might be a teddy bear and very, like, shy. And maybe you can say that to him in a more productive way. I don't fault her for saying it, but I just don't think the outcome of any of this is like super healthy.
It all comes down to the person. There's some people that don't want you to be that way. There's some people that do want you to be that way. I was just having a conversation with my girlfriend the other day who her boyfriend got mad at her from flirting with some, or because he said she was flirting with some guy at the bar. And she's like, well, don't leave me alone at the bar. And it's like, no, you're putting your thing at the, like, you don't want him. Do you know?
But there's levels. It's a spectrum. Because, like, if you and I went out to have a drink and another guy was disrespectful to me.
If he was disrespectful to you.
And you were with me and you saw it, I would hope that you would say, look, man, that's not.
Oh, for sure.
Right? But would I expect you to, like, hit homeboy? Definitely not.
Well,
like,
probably because it's me.
Well, I would expect you to. But what I'm saying is, like, would I want that to be part of, like, our.
Right.
No. I would want to feel that, like, okay. If I was with Rob having a drink, I would be in a safer environment than if I was alone in that situation having that same drink.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that part of my narrative has to be you beating the fuck out of somebody.
Right.
That's so dumb. It's so stupid and just feeds into the larger narrative of us amusing ourselves to death.
25-year-olds drinking on a beach and trying to date multiple people. So
for sure.
We put them in the arena. We're gladiators. We're the Romans.
I love
yay
it.
Yay or nay. It's what we're doing. Sam,
can't wait till next week.
Oh my God. And we have plenty of weeks left.
I love it.
So I actually am excited to have you back and have, I mean, this was fucking great.
I love it. I will come back anytime. And I can't wait till we watch next Monday together.
I know we're going to watch next Monday together for sure.
You guys, poor Rob has to listen to me eat Shake Shack and drink rosé while I yell about people on TV.
Well, I'm going
to
be coming back from Boz's bachelor party.
Oh, it's right.
In Tahoe.
And I'm at the next bachelor the next weekend.
Yeah, so you'll be listening to me just drink wine so I don't have the shivers.
I love it.
I'm over the entire time.
I love it.
7-hour drive back. Guys, remember, if you enjoy the show, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories such as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Spotify, and iHeart. You can find us at Believe.com and Believe Podcast. Please rate the show on iTunes if you like it and follow me at Forever's Evers, Foreverevers.
Nice.
Sam, I want to thank you so much for coming here and being my guest. My first full, only female guest.
I'm honored.
And
it's such a big, it's cool because I'm leaving my company and then starting my own company now. So this is getting back to my entertainment roots and talking to the people that I love like you. So
I'm honored because you're such an accomplished person came here and you gave me your opinions. And I think it was an educated discussion.
Dude, it's fun. It's like you and me going to dinner and shooting the shit, but just like with microphones.
Exactly. Next time we go to dinner, I'll just bring some microphones.
There you go. I love it.
Anyway, I love you.
I love you too.
Guys, remember, reality TV, it's realer than real.